So guys, what I want to do tonight is I just want to link a bit in a very devotional way to the harvest. What is the harvest? The harvest is every heart in the world that breathes and exists at this stage has not met with our Savior Jesus Christ. That's the harvest. The harvest is not necessarily in Malawi or in Nepal or somewhere near. The harvest is here. Okay, that they sit next to us at work, right? They're our family members, right? And Jesus said the harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. The laborers is every believer, every person that's got a heart to go out and share the good news of the gospel with someone. And I've seen you guys, you're all laborers, amen? I've seen you invite people. I've seen you pray. I've seen you be happy when one life turns. I know by the amount of mission teams and people we send on missions, I know we're a group of laborers. Amen? And God's got a great promise for us. And His promise is this. Don't you worry too much about the harvest. I will prepare it. Just go. Go next door and next desk at work. Okay? Go on a mission to Zambia if you want to, if you can, if it's possible. You'll grow a lot. Because the harvest is really hard to speak. As we're sitting here, as we're worshiping into this town, as we're lifting our hands, because in the spiritual realm, stuff are happening. People don't even know. They're sitting at home right now watching a movie. God is preparing their heart. Some people at the moment are prospering. That's great. God is preparing their heart to meet Him. Some people are going through terrible times. At this moment. At this moment, there's people in Sukuna crying behind closed doors. God is preparing a harvest. It might be your neighbor. It might be someone that works with you. Amen? The promise is God is working, preparing. But He chose to partner with us in reaching those people. Right? We are Christ embodied on earth. He works through us. And tonight I want to just touch on that. I'm going to try not to be long. I've got a heart for the lost. But not more so than a lot of you guys. We love to see someone turn to God. Amen. That's why we are here. That's a blessing of being also a part of a bigger church. Let me tell you what. If Shofar as a church did not have a heart for the harvest, we would not be here right now. There will be no Shofar Pretoria, which is about 600 people. There will be no Shofar Joburg, no Standerton. Because people are thinking over and above their boundaries, we are here, we exist today. And I know that heart is in you, that's why we're going to Zim and DRC. But you know what? There's stuff that needs to happen in our lives to us if ministry is going to flow through us. Or we'll get burned out, or we'll fall on the wayside. And what I want to talk about tonight is a bit, how do you sustain your heart for the lost? How do you keep on going? Do you know what? What does the Bible say about the athlete? He's finished the race. And it's great, all of you, myself included, my wife, my family is here, you've got your family here. We are here now. There's nowhere else we should be but right here, submitted to God for His word to us. But we need to finish the race as well. Amen? Alright? I've learned one thing.
My friend.
You know, this thing. Keep on getting in trouble. Otherwise, Warren knows maybe it'll be up with another one. Let's see. One of the pastors in Shofar told me one thing one night. He said, I'm not looking to build a massive church. He said, I'm looking to build a church that stands until Jesus comes back. Alright? What that means is we must remain in Christ, rooted and built up in Him, until He comes back. Speaks of endurance. Alright? And let me tell you what, there is trials and tests on the way on your life. There's no way to get around it. It will happen to us. The Bible says if Christ was challenged, if Christ was persecuted, it will happen to us as well. Alright? But the Bible doesn't call those things calamities. It actually speaks of it as blessings. Alright? But I just want you to know, on your journey towards the finish line, most of the time, you're going to have a great time because God is amazing. But let me tell you what, there will be Amen? Let's finish the race. And today, I want to talk devotionally, just a bit about my relationship with the Holy Spirit. And I want to show you keys to my heart on why I believe what I'm doing in my body for God is sustainable until the day I die. And I want you to learn from it and take it for yourself. Is that okay? Can we do that? Let's pray quickly. Father, I want to thank you for this evening. I want to thank you that you've got stuff to say. I want to thank you that you say, I'm the shepherd, and the sheep hears my voice. They follow me because they know my voice, but they don't follow a stranger. And right now, you're ready to say stuff to us, speak to us. And every heart, doesn't matter where they are right now, Lord, I know you know the way. You know the contact point with every heart in this place. And everyone says amen. Awesome. Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me. Now there's a list. To bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Long list of stuff that God wants to do through you. Say, God wants to use me. To do a lot of stuff. Okay, but now say this. First, God must do something in me before he can do something through me. Something must be done to you before something can be done through you. Right? God must come and do something in your life. And so the Bible says, I will put my Spirit on you. Okay? The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me. What does it mean? It means God comes into your life is when you invite him and he places something on you. It's like a bottomless well. Okay, if you think of the image. He puts it on you and it feeds the world until the day you die. It's called the anointing, the solvent. Okay? But a solvent, an anointing, is not something you can obtain. You cannot study for it. You cannot earn it. You cannot fight your way into it. It's something he must come and do to you, not you. Right? That's why the church, we are constantly talking about the Holy Spirit, how to invite him, bring him closer, use me, use me, use me, so that he can do something to you, and then work through you. Right? Let's go on before we get into a few points. Then he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. How many things he's going to call his son that? Zerubbabel, I said, amen, brother. Your son. And now no one wants to marry him anymore. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Guys, this is one of the most comforting scriptures you'll ever read in the Bible. You know why? Because most people that end up in a ditch somewhere emotionally is there because they place stuff on their shoulders that should not be there. They don't belong there. The pressure to fix everyone's world. The pressure to change your whole company. Man alone. To change every heart. Minister to them. Give them finance when they're in trouble. You must do everything. And one day, just crack. It's too much. You can't do it anymore. Some of you have been there. You're not even 30 years old. You've been there. Some of you have been there in not only in your workplace, but maybe at home, maybe with friends. Loading, loading on your shoulders. But let me tell you what, there's stuff you cannot do. There's stuff you can do. And this is why I can sleep at night. Because I'm starting to learn what I can do and what I can't do. If I don't go to bed with stuff on my shoulders that should not be there, something's going to give. It's going to get to me, it's going to get to my wife, it's going to get into my house. Not by might, it's not by power, but my Spirit says the Lord. So firstly, I just want to take a deep breath. When we talk about your calling, earlier this year, meant for so much more. There's stuff you cannot do, and that's great. He will do it, and he wants to use you. Okay? Are you comfortable with that? And so as we follow God the best we can, worship him, we read the word, we have times that we finish it. We pray for people, we testify. After you have done the loving and the caring, you know what you do? You rest in God. You got to do it. Take a break. One spirit, rest in God. If you're reminded, you say, Lord, thank you about that person. Did you know about them, love them, rest. Who's going to change their lives? God. Who's going to love them? Who's going to be kind to them? You. Can you change their heart? No. It's not possible. If you carry that load, what you are doing right now in the ministry is not sustainable. Make sense? Just laying a foundation. I want to give you five things about the Holy Spirit that I often have to take for myself. You can call it promises, attributes, or functions. Things that the Holy Spirit does in me and in ministry that helps me function long term in the ministry. Talking about the heart, talking about the world out there, a lot of work to be done, right? But how do I finish strong? How do I go all the way? Number one, I'm going to run into it. He is active in saving you. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except through the Holy Spirit. If one heart turns to Christ, one heart, it's the Holy Spirit that it will. Right? Don't just think about salvation. Don't just think about that moment I gave my heart to God. Think about you hearing something from God. He's leading you closer, confessing a sin, phoning a friend, help me, I'm in trouble, God is speaking to me, I want to respond to Him. Every single step you take closer to God is through the Holy Spirit. Do you know that? There's no way you can come one inch closer to Christ except through the Holy Spirit. But the same is true for that person you're praying for. That person you're crying for. It's okay. God knows about our tears. So don't feel bad if you cry about someone's life. You're praying for them. It's okay. Cry. Be there in your prayer room. Go through it. And ask God to give you rest. You know what? You cannot change his heart. You cannot convince someone into following Christ. You know why I don't know? Well, I know it doesn't work because my parents tried it with me. Don't do that. That's the wrong thing. Okay, Mom. I can't make PT or some movies game. Yeah, right. We're going to go to Albert Tunney's in the old days. Yeah, right. Telling people what's right or wrong has never saved a soul. God can save it. He can do it. So the first way you take pressure off your shoulder right here is if you've taken all the pressure on yourself to change someone's life. Take it off. It doesn't belong on your shoulders. What is your role? You pray for them, you love them, and you share with them. That's hard enough, okay? It's hard enough to share. It's hard enough to care at times. And there's times when you have to be honest. Listen, this thing you're doing, this is going to hurt you. That's hard enough to be confrontational. You cannot save them. Praise God for that. He will do it. I just love that. Jesus said, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, cannot enter the God. Something, the kingdom of God. Something spiritual needs to happen in someone's life for them to turn. You cannot do it. But what I want to say, and I don't want you to lose me here, God wants to use you to change lives, not by changing that life yourself, but by loving and caring and being a light that shines unto Christ. And as you shine the light unto Jesus, He changes the lives. So you are a walking light bearer. Okay? You are a walking mirror, a spirit, okay? And so what you may have, you may carry in your heart the confidence that if you have one moment with a person, that person's whole life will change. Because they see Jesus through you. Alright? And I believe that because as our congregation is growing, I don't have time to see everyone. So sometimes when I have a moment with someone, a date in my diet, a meeting with someone, I say, Lord, one meeting changes life. And the same for you. Right? You're a walking light bearer. So have that confidence in you. But after you've done all you can do, after you've reached out, love, hug, pray, God, you must do it. And go and have a good night's rest. Alright? Make sense? You know where this is the hardest? Your family. You've been praying for your dad years. Or for your mom. Pray. Don't get discouraged. Keep on praying. Endure and love them, but take the pressure of saving off your shoulders. Amen? And what's difficult is you need to still keep the urgency for God. But that comes through prayer, loving and sharing. And He saves the life. Amen? This is good news. It's good news that the Holy Spirit is the one that saves. That leads. Number two, let's go on. He's active in changing you. This is a difficult one to put in when we're talking about a harvest campaign, but you'll see why I'm going there. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, gentleness, long list, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who belong to Christ, Jesus, have crucified the flesh with its passions. Okay, this is called the fruit of the Spirit. Alright? All it means is when the Holy Spirit comes, touches, changes your lives, introduces you to Christ, these things start to show up in your life. Alright? Some people will bump into you, they haven't seen you for 3 years. You are a different person. They are shocked when they meet you. How can this be the same person? How is this possible? The Holy Spirit got hold of you. Did a great work in you. Now, the amazing thing about this list is this. Every single thing on that list has got to do with relationships. Every single one. Patience. It's towards someone, alright? Joy, kindness, goodness. Why is it so important to God? I'll tell you why. Because God is into family and teams. We cannot reach the harvest on our own. It's impossible. And I'll say this straight. You will struggle to grow as a Christian without a small group. I'll put my hand on a chopping block. You know why? You won't grow in those things. But those people irritate me. Exactly. That's where you must go. God wants you to grow in patience. No, you don't understand. That person, when they speak, you know what? You need to work on the love. Okay? Small group, the coffee may be nice. And in our small group, the food is the best. And we talk about food a lot as well. But let me tell you what, it can be a brutal place for you. Brutal questions gets asked in your heart. Alright? You get confronted with all those things on one evening and there's 10 people. Maybe you're like one. Alright? God is doing work. Why? Because He uses broken people like me and you to reach His goal. Can I ask some honest questions? Can we do the hand thing? I'm not going to put you heavily on the spot. Let me just ask you this. Who have you felt irritated in the last month? But keep your hand up. It was like I can see three sondages. Okay? Now, who feels that they want to grow and not be irritated so easily? Keep your hand up. There is no way. Okay, that's good. Keep your hand up. That was a lot. Okay, no way. Okay, who felt in the last month that you are not being as faithful as you really want to be? Okay, this is a difficult one, but just be honest, okay? I know I can be in a better place in terms of faithfulness, alright? Great stuff. And last one, who felt at one stage, hey, I can be more gentle in some other way. My speech can be more gentle. Okay? Right. Now, let me tell you what. If you hear that in your heart, okay, listen to me very carefully. If you hear that in your heart, guess who's speaking to you? It's the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you what. He doesn't speak to everyone. It's true. Not everyone hears His voice. Right? Those at the moment who is not following Jesus has got no moral radar to fulfill anything on that list. something speaks to you, be so grateful. He's working with you. Isn't that amazing? The Bible says you are His workmanship. He's busy with you. And He will not stop until the day you die. So if you hear Him, don't feel bad tonight about those stuff. Don't say, oh, I guess all one person. Come and say it for myself. Come and tell it for myself. Exile. Okay? Don't do that. Alright? He's working with you. Because He's loving you. Because you are this, I don't want to say project because it sounds, but He's busy with you. He's loving the way you grow. He sees you in these things, like you can see a young person growing. He sees your growth spiritually. He loves it. So this year, because you are growing, the fact that you are irritated, it's bothering you. Last year, it didn't bother you. You know what? You are growing. That is amazing. Okay? He's busy in your life because He loves you. Even the Bible says, every son whom I love, I discipline. We don't like that word, it's a good word. It comes from love. It's busy with you. It's a great thing. I want to encourage you, alright? Now, why is it important? Except that you become more like Christ, which is one of the singular mission and vision of being a Christian, is to be like Jesus. I want to say this to you. You are created. This scripture was almost on about 8 times, not on tonight. You are His workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, prepared beforehand. You are created to carry a calling, alright? You are created to carry something for God, and through you, He wants to do certain things. But this is another promise for you, alright? It's a negative promise, we won't put it negative. You won't carry your calling if you don't grow in the fruit of the Spirit. No way. This is your character. Your character carries your calling. Right? Not your giftedness. Please follow me here. Your giftedness, the ability to move in the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:14. Right? Those things, 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, just want to clarify. Amazing things can be done through you. You can touch people, they can be healed. You can speak in languages and prophesy. Let me tell you what, if you don't grow in character, you're not going to make it until the end. Because we see it on TBN. Great stuff, great stuff, great stuff. I'm the man. Next thing, this guy falls, morally shatters to the ground. I don't want to go into details. And the whole revival falls. There was never character. Are you following me here? Your character carries your calling. If God is talking to you about any one of these things, thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are talking to me on. And also, don't beat yourself up about it. Saying it again, don't neglect the fellowship of the brethren. That's a scripture in Hebrews. Go to small group. Get slotted and get rid of them. Let them irritate you. Alright? Throw them with a piece of cake. Repent later. Alright? Get it out of your system if you guys. This is where you're going to grow with God's people. Okay? It's easy to be alone. Let me tell you, some people will say, I'm the biggest extrovert they've got. Let me tell you what, it's easier for me to also be alone than many people. True story. I can be alone for days, but that's not where I grow. I don't grow when I'm on my own. I grow when I'm among God's people. We need to work stuff out. We disagree a bit. We need to give some love, some patience. I want to encourage you. Go for it. Amen. Enjoy it when He shows you your limitations. It's amazing. The Holy Spirit will grow your character. He's your helper. What is the devil? He's your accuser. You suck. Again, you use that word when you spoke to your wife. That's why she hit you with a high heel. Alright? So, you are a failure. That's the voice of the enemy. Voice of the Holy Spirit. I want to lift you up from this place. I want to encourage you. I want to help you. I'm going to help you get through this, buddy. Hold on to me. That's His voice. He's the encourager, the helper. Isn't it amazing? Okay, so if you hear all those lies, all those accusations, Close your eyes for a moment and seek His voice in your spirit. I promise you, you will hear it. It's going to be okay. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to go all the way. That's how He speaks. Amen? Number three, something about the Holy Spirit. He can be received or He can be grieved. Okay? The Bible is very explicit. I don't know why. This one thing I will ask God one day. The Bible is so clear about the Holy Spirit's, almost want to say, emotions. I don't think, firstly, English is my second language, but I can't even explain it in Afrikaans. I don't have the words to explain the Holy Spirit. No one has. But there's something about the Holy Spirit in my day, my heart, that can either bring Him close or keep a distance between me and Him. It's just how it is. Scripture says, don't grieve Him. Don't push Him away. Okay? But Scripture says you can create through your life places, spaces in your life, your heart that the Holy Spirit wants to draw near. Your home can be a place. Physical space can be inhabited by the Holy Spirit because you consecrate it. That's why we anoint our houses. We put oil and say, Lord, oil is the sign of the Holy Spirit. And then that. Put a bit of oil on the door and say, Holy Spirit, this is your door. Only you're allowed to come through this door. We consecrate our houses. In the same way, you are a spiritual temple. The way you live either draws Him closer or keeps Him at a distance. Now this is very important. We're talking about the nations, the harvest, and sustainable ministry. What sustainable means? They can anha. Okay? This is Toyota Bucky. Alright? Okay? Ons kan later debatteer daaroor. As dit wil sê my inder op ons water. Why is it important? I've spent times in ministry when I experienced the Holy Spirit not being close to me. And I'm telling you, at the end of those days, I'm dead. I'm tired. I'm spent. There's times when I was busy the whole day, 3 days, 4 days in ministry, and in my body I'm tired, but in my spirit I am fresh. Let me tell you what, you want the Holy Spirit to walk next to you the whole time, be with you. He can be received or He can be grieved. Just check the scripture out. I want you guys to receive the Holy Spirit in your presence, in your space. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Scripture, do you guys pick these things up? There's a way you can speak that gives grace to those who hear. That's amazing. But there's a way I can speak that gives death to those who hear. Alright? Check the next verse. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Linking to the previous verse. Talking about speech, okay? By whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And then it goes back to talk. Can you believe a little bitterness and wrath and anger, clamor and slander be put away? You know what? Do you want to grieve your wife? Talk badly with her. It will work. Don't try this at home. Okay? I'm not taking any responsibility. You want to bring her close? Be honest. Be kind. You can make mistakes even with her. But just be honest. Ek praat ek jy waar het, dames. So, een sê, I'll take it. Yes. Holy Spirit in a way, Bible says what's in our heart comes out of our mouth. And that's amazing. God always makes it easy for you. Rewind the tape and ask yourself, what is coming out? It's helping you. Once again, the position of the accuser, ek nie weet jy gesê, jy is dom, jy sal. God, God will speak to you like this. Ladies, think about what came out of your mouth the last while. I want to help you here. I want to show you something that's in your heart. Envy? Yes, it will die. It will die. Check time for sure. Check time for sure. Always breaking someone else down? Envy. Right? Always negative? Always negative? Such a problem. You haven't received God as your Father. You're not secure in who you are. Always negative. Okay? He's helping you. Those kind of speech and thoughts, it creates distance between me and the Holy Spirit. I need Him close. He's a refresher. He picks me up. He strengthens my legs, spiritually speaking. Okay? Are you with me here tonight? Very silent. That was because you're listening. Amen? Okay. Now, let me just apply this in another way. When it comes to that person you love at work, just think of someone you're praying for, maybe a parent, maybe someone in your family, your mother-in-law, that you really want to pray for, all right? Think of someone. But specifically now, someone you've got contact with every now and then. There's a way you engage with that person. There's a culture. There's a way of love that comes through your life, the way you act, your body language, your words, that brings them closer or creates distance. In the very same way you can grieve or receive the Holy Spirit. Okay? There's a way in which I bend myself towards that person that is broken, that creates a door for them to come near and receive. And there's a way which I make that closes the door. Alright? And that's difficult. Okay? We know Jesus is very clear. We should not participate in the world. Alright? We should not participate or say what sinners are doing. Can we sort this out, Mark, please? Thank you. We should not say, no, what you're doing is a great thing. I accept you and all these things. It's amazing. No, 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 no. But there's a way in which we are holy. He'd have an open door. Hallelujah. Awesome. Let me say it this way. The heart of a person at this moment is not joined to Christ. The heart of that person is broken. And you can know that. Someone that does not know Jesus and His fellowship has got a broken heart already. The possibility is that there's a broken marriage. The possibility is that there's pressure at work. You're sitting with someone very vulnerable that needs help. And so what the Holy Spirit wants us to do is to come nearer in such a way that we bring that person closer, not create a door. Distance. Make sense? Okay? And let me tell you what. It gets back to the fruit of the Spirit. It's freeing. It's freeing to love that way. I felt if I love towards someone, the possibility of me holding a grudge goes away. The moment there's a grudge in my heart towards someone, especially if they sin against me, it weighs me down. It takes away my sustainability. Makes a little root for unforgiveness. Makes a little root for anger. And so the bigger question to ask tonight is, how do you love someone? How do you reach out to a person that has wronged you or wronged a friend, so that very person can still come to you and say, listen, I need to change my life. Keep that door open at all times. Make sense? The Holy Spirit can be received or grieved, but also the heart of that person, the way you love, can bring close. And I want to say it this way. People are ready to be loved. I always say this. Love is scarce. There's people that I come in contact with, I know it, that when I go to them and just put my arm around them and say, you know what, it's just awesome playing rugby with you. It's just awesome having you here. I'll guarantee you there's people that in 1 month time don't have one hug from someone saying something positive to them. And that's why the harvest is ready. Ready to be loved, to be reached. Amen? Love is a great evangelizer. Number four, almost done. He empowers you. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Once again, there's something He wants to do to you before He can do anything through you. Alright? But this is amazing. This is amazing because Because you know what? You will experience situations in your life that you cannot do. You'll say, I cannot get through it. And you're right, you cannot. He's going to empower you. Right now, some of you are in situations you don't know how you're going to come out of it. You've got no clue. You look around you, you only see bad endings. Who of you read those books? When I was in primary school, there was this book. So I always read them because it was very quick. Okay? Because you get to page 10 and they say, A, go to page 40, or B, go to page 11. And then the book, it splits up as you go. So at the end, you read like 20 pages. Right? Because you must have like this book reading log at school. Okay, like, I read this book. It was only 20 pages. But then some of the endings really suck. Okay, so they're like, you go back, you choose another route. Okay? Okay, who knows what I'm talking about? All of you the same. I read all these books, Great reader I am. But sometimes we find ourselves in a situation, look this way, looks bad. Look this way, it looks like a horror film. We look this way, it looks like another horror film. Or for me, it looks like a rom-com. That's even worse than a horror movie. Okay? You cannot do it. But he's here, waiting for you. Because he wants to empower you, give you something you don't have. That's why he's the helper. If this was not necessary, Jesus would never have sent the Holy Spirit yet. But he says, I send you a helper, so you can have hope. So I want you to think about that situation you need, where you find yourself. I want you to write in your little book, it's easy for the Holy Spirit. Quick job. Once he takes hold of you, he takes you out, done. Gives you hope. It's not by might, it's not by my mind, it's not by my power, but it's by the Holy Spirit. What's he going to do? I don't know. But he's going to do something. That's what Scripture says. I need this in ministry every day. Because I know what I'm doing right now, it doesn't fit into my skill set as a human. No way. He needs to come do something in me so I can do right now what I'm doing. And the same for you. We spoke about spiritual shape. Was it last week? Yes. No, previous week. You're made in a certain way spiritually to accomplish something. You've got a calling that you must carry on your character. Right? But he's going to empower you so that you can do it. Might be different than mine, but you need to be empowered. He does it. Holy Spirit does it. And that's just amazing. If you feel overwhelmed, just breathe and give a situation to him. So Holy Spirit, intervene here. I submit myself to you. It's not by might. Next slide. It's not by power, but by my Spirit. Now, I just sense the Holy Spirit speaking to me, just to repeat this. When you are in bed tonight, that's when the enemy comes for you. Okay? It's why it's important to fill your mind with Scripture before you go to bed, because that's where he hammers you. And this situation runs like a tape. It doesn't stop. And so he asks questions, how are you going to get out of this? How are you going to do it? This is your answer by the Holy Spirit. Think the plan. How? By the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit. No, but no one's going to help you. You've got no friends. That's okay. The Holy Spirit's going to help you. He's going to empower you. You need to fight that battle. He's going to keep you awake. Why is this so important? Let me just say this to you. Leaders, and someone that leads someone to Christ is also a leader. Okay, if you've got a heart for someone, you're praying, you're a leader in a spiritual sense. Hopeless leaders won't succeed. All right, no one follows a hopeless leader. No one follows a whiner and a murmur. It doesn't work. You can think of examples. No one wants to follow it. Okay? People follow people with hope. Who's got hope? Only those with eternal hope. Okay? If you've got a relationship with the Holy Spirit, you've got the eternal hope in you, and you can lead strong. Lead people to Christ, and also lead out there, whether it's a meeting at your workplace, in the space where you find yourself. People follow leaders with hope. Right? And let me just say this, there's an eternal hope in you that's extremely attractive to the world out there. It's extremely attractive. People can feel it, they can sense it. It doesn't matter if they can do big formulas. I'll tell you something, people are not stupid. And I know, because people come through this door, before they speak with someone, they talk to their friend and say, God is here. I've heard it from more than one person. That person has, at that moment, not even committed their life to Christ. They come through this door, they say, something is going on here. It's because there's lights walking around here. Huh? Now you carry that hope to your workplace. Let me tell you what, something in you is irresistible for people at work. And it makes ministry easy because in one sense I go, but in another sense people will come to you. Listen to what I'm saying. What is that helping you? What is going on in your life? I need what you have. The Holy Spirit is in you and is running over. Just amazing. Can I get one amen?
Amen.
That's awesome. You must back yourself. I want to... Sounds like I'm in a rugby career here, but let me just tell you this. Back yourself. One moment with someone, one lunch, one coffee, one walk and change someone's life. Because you are there and he's in you. I've become so confident in this exactly because I know it's not me. Previously when I had to psych myself up and I thought, I'm going to train myself to do well, I stressed so much with ministry. But now I've realized I'm actually clueless. But he's working through me still. I've got much more confidence. It's not about me. One meeting. One conversation. Listen, a WhatsApp conversation can change someone's life. Believe that. Okay? You can do it. Something in you. It's irresistible. Last one. I'm finishing off. I'm so sorry we sold all the donuts yesterday. There's nothing here. You bought like 50 or what? Oh, sorry, man. We'll give you a piece of carrot or something. Guys, last point. See, I'm already distracted. I'm just having a good time with you guys. It's awesome in the house of God, amen? When family comes together, it's okay to have a bit of fun. John 14 verse 6, I will ask the Father, he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. I want to share something with you. It's dear to me. This is the devotional sermon. Okay? I'm not taking one scripture and putting it apart. We'll do it a bit later this year. I'm talking devotion, talking out of my heart here. Let me tell you something. Ministry. I'm not in ministry, right? We are in ministry, okay? That's what we say. Every member in ministry, amen? Who's in the ministry here? Great. There's no lines between the pulpit here and the pulpit at your workplace. Hydro Ark is your pulpit. Stephen Chris, that's just how it is. It's given to you as a ministry field. Whether you want it or not, you may look at your harvest and say, Lord, don't even have money. I'm sorry. God gave it to you. Now you need to work that land. Really, and who else is in the mind? Who else is in the mind? Who's underground? Gave it to you. It's your ministry field. Now, my Here, I got me fun apples, boeri. I call the hoeners boeri. Listen, he gave you apples. Okay? It's your ministry field. Yeah, but it's difficult. That's why you are there. Because you are shaped for it. But let me tell you what. Ministry can slap you in the face. I'll tell you what. It's happened to me more than once. I've prayed for someone. I've cried for someone in prayer. And then that same person will swear at me that day, not knowing what I did at home. It's happened to some of you as well. I will pray, you know, when I arrived at the rugby club back then, I tried to memorize all the names I can. After the first practice session, there wasn't many guys back then. I just wrote down all the names I could. I think I got to 17 names. Then the next day, I got to about 40. It was for sevens, because at the beginning of 2013, there was like 50 guys, a lot of people. And I started praying. And You know what? When you start to pray for someone, your heart goes there. Who's noticed that? That's why we must pray. And so sometimes they're not even talking to me, but I would see that person going off, talking in the way they should not, swear whatever, and I'll be on this side and it will break my heart. Because just earlier that day, I was praying for that person. I'm like, Lord, it hasn't happened yet. It hasn't happened yet. And I'm praying here, Lord, help a man out. It hurts you. And other times, you get close to someone, and they actually have a connection with you. And you've experienced this, and they say, listen, now, you've changed so much in this moment. I want to come to church with you. And then you come on Sunday, and you wait outside here. Then you get a WhatsApp. Oh, I forgot it's my grandma's birthday. And sorry. And what happens? Your heart breaks. Who's experienced that? Let me tell you something. The ministry is not easy. Because you love people. You need a comforter. And so Jesus sends the Holy Spirit. There's time in the ministry when if you don't get comforted in your spirit, you won't make it. You will tap out. You will rather protect your heart. You will rather say, listen, I'm not going to pray one more prayer. I cannot do this again. And I've been there. A lot of you have been there. You need to be comforted. But I want to encourage you with this. That person you're praying for that speaks that way or maybe even speaks at you in a way that hurts you, they don't have the comforter. So what's coming out is pain. You have a comforter. So take the hit. Okay, I want to encourage you to take the hit. Let them speak to you. Take it, because you've got a comforter. Alright? Don't give back to them what they gave to you. Give love. It's going to hurt you. Get around the corner and connect with the comforter. They're going to be saved. Because of the way you act. You know, my HBSM and Mars did. They talk about mothers in this stuff. I've picked that up. Take it. Absorb it. You've got a comforter. He doesn't have one. Okay? But I want to say to you, even if you're only just starting your relationship with God, even if you like an airplane just lifting off, connect with the comforter now. And allow him to comfort you. Because you know what? As you grow in ministry, you're going to need that comfort. There's a place in my spirit that my wife cannot comfort me. It's just the truth. Only the one who made me can reach into that very deep part of my spirit. Where I need to make out for myself, who am I? Who is this person here? Who did God make me be? Am I of significance? Is there something going on in my life here? That deep question no human being can answer. And you've tried to get it from different people, it will never work. You'll only get hurt. But the comforter, he can reach in there. And it's amazing what he can do. It's amazing. But you cannot sustain a ministry of giving, giving, giving if you don't get comfort from the comforter. It comforts you in a different way. Amen? Talking about how to sustain yourself in the ministry forever. Ministry. I want to tell you this. You can write it down if you want to. Sustainable ministry is possible when there's sustainable comfort by the Holy Spirit in your heart. Continuously comforting you. Where does that happen? Often in front when these guys are on the stage. That's where it happens in my life. It happens at home as well. I worship at home. I pray at home. I pray on the rugby fields. I read my Bible everywhere. But let me tell you what. When I come here, when people have prepared a tabernacle of worship, people have practiced at home. Warren has prayed or called through a song list. There's something about preparing a place and a space to connect with God. So you are set up to receive a comforting moment from the Holy Spirit that reaches you at least once a week. And again, it's a small group. Okay? So take these places this place in your life, what happens here, and protect it. Don't give this away to a movie. It's not a wise decision. Okay? Don't give this away to Bri. It's not smart. Meat is good, alright? But it's not going to help. There's a place, there's stuff that needs to happen here so that you can keep on going. Because we need to change this town, guys. And our other friends. The other churches. Do you know what a small amount of secunda is in churches? The other day a bunch of our pastors were together. We were counting more or less. How many of you? 100 years, 200. We got to about 1,000 on Sunday. That is not even touching secunda's population. Isn't that amazing? We've got work to do. We need to be sustained. Let's stand tonight. Let's stand tonight. Awesome. I've got one prayer I want to pray tonight. Thank you, Melissa. No, two prayers.